Hello and Happy New Year to all of you. Before I give you the details of today's broadcast, let me take a moment to wish Norm a belated happy birthday. He would have turned 95 back on December 20th. Thank you for your patience as I convalesced from the COVID drone chroninator. I'm feeling much better, and Norm Nathan's Vault of Silliness is ready to kick off 2022 with the episode I was in the middle of writing and editing that was to air back on December 17th. Now, this originally aired on December 16th and I believe the 17th of 1995. There's some miscellaneous content too, but I believe it was all from the same weekend. I have titled it The Cockamamie Christmas Punches Lights Out Show. Have fun listening to find out why. There's so much going on here. We begin with a Jack Hart Holiday Celebrations traffic report and then on to the show open. Norm gives the lineup of guests coming up that weekend, including Nancy Sinatra. I do hope that interview is here in the vault somewhere, as it was not included on this tape. Norm mentions he will be filling in for David Brudnoy from 7 p.m. to midnight on Christmas night. And he will be in for Neil Chayette on New Year's Eve beginning at 9. And he'll be on all through the night as well. We get another traffic report and another show open, and it's right to the callers. The always entertaining Helene from Belmont, whose son is dating a werewolf. I suddenly make an appearance to confirm the swell music quiz will be on sometime while Norm fills in for the vacationing Bob Raleigh. We drive on over to our next subject, the dedication of the Ted Williams Tunnel. Now this leads to a discussion of other celebrities who've had things named after them, and I reveal what my choice is if the powers that be wanted to name something after moi. Now hang on, as the fun really begins, as Norm and I talk about a magical night when this completely ad-libbed, off-the-cuff, perfectly timed production took place. The toilet dedication. After that, there's a brief, partial call that turns us on. Norm tells a story of scraping ice off a windshield during a double date. There's a recollection of when Ed Mullen, the swell music quizmaster, proposed to his girlfriend on the air. We then take a call from Jeff, who just may have pulled the taffeta over our eyes. Now comes Norm's rant about David Brudnoy's quarterly libertarian panel show, which, by the way, David would always dedicate to Norm. All right, back to the calls. Johnny in Boston, who was recently on the Jerry Springer Show doing his psychic Elvis act. Yes, you heard that correctly. Bob from Framingham, who's celebrating his first wedding anniversary. A silly top-of-the-hour station ID from me and Norm. Fred on the line talking about Mason Adams, and we get Norm's fantastic impression. An upcut call with Marguerite, talking about Norm's mom and dad. Phew, that was just side A. Now for side B. Starts right off with a caller named Joan. Then a very brief call with Jeff, who must have asked about Robert from Everett because we drop in some Robert laughs. Another quick call from one of our regulars, Kristen from Dorchester. Norm asks her to do the top hour station ID, and she delivers. June with some talk about Jack Hart, Monine Daly, Ed LeClaire and his fiancée Elizabeth, and little baby Snooglefleasure? And the libertarian panel talk rears its ugly head again, and Norm is riled up. Llewellyn closes out the calls as we move on to one of our game guests, Jeff Pinsker. We get to have some fun as he and the callers play one of his latest games. Kathy and Lynn, Mary and Quincy, Leanne from Blackstone, Paul from Somerville, Faye in Somerville, and Wally from Brockton. We get another Norm show open courtesy of Dave Currier and Linda Chase. Now, more calls and guests. Fred talking all sorts of stuff, including some relationship trouble. Sally in Plymouth. Her cat was on HBO's Tales from the Crypt. Her son is friends with the director of the show. Now, Sally calls him Kitty, but his union card reads Gypsy Ford. Arlene tells Norm about a WBZ co-worker's crazy dream. Now we cut to our guests, Lucy, Princess Cheyenne Johnson, with another lovely lady, Montana, who danced at a club in Tingsboro called Matthew's. Robert from Everett calls with some memories, and he and Norm and the guests have a completely normal conversation. Norm mentions Lily St. Cyr, whose act was getting dressed on stage. Norm has some high praise, praise for Robert, as it seems he was trying to cut down on drinking and smoking, and now makes more sense when he calls. We hear from Kevin from Bellingham, Mark in Framingham in need of love advice, and we close with Bob from Marblehead with a story, and then the conversation gets deep and philosophical. Episode 68, the Cockamamie Christmas Punches Lights Out Show, finally begins now.
Overnight, be very careful no matter where you are. This is also a weekend when many people will be traveling amongst to some of the various holiday celebrations, going to and from Christmas parties and such. You do want to watch out once they get on the roadways. Lower neck of Route 93, Tobin Bridge heading into the city, very icy right now, as are Routes 128, 495, and the Mass Pike. You do want to watch out for the other traveler at this point. A number of spin-out situations have been occurring and thankfully clearing up quickly.
You tuned in from Nathan, he's one of the greats. Right here on BZ, region 38 states. I'm singing this song so you'll know. It's time for your Nathan Show. When the day-to-day world starts to drive you insane, and you feel like you're riding on a runaway train, your makes you laugh and keeps spirits bright. Tune in 10:30 and call Norm tonight. He's hey out there in radio land. You tuned in on Nathan and he's at your command. So stay here and listen, then you'll understand. He's a habit you'll never outgrow. But right now, Norm Nathan Show. I said right now, Norm Nathan Show. Here's Norm.
Yes, hello. I was going to say it's so nice to have you with us, but it sounds so phony, doesn't it, when people say that? But it really is. And we'll be around through the night. Get some interesting people going to be talking to, including an Elvis impersonator who's more than just an Elvis impersonator. He impersonates other people. He's a stand-up comic. Is a swell dancer and a neat dresser, and I made up that part. Maybe he is. Anyway, his name is Joe Steele, and we'll be talking with him in just a minute. Let me do a couple of things right now. If you want to give me a call, 254-1030, the area code 617. Saturday night, we'll be on the air, because Saturday and Sunday we come on at 11, and our first guest Saturday night will be Jody Foss, who's written a book called Mules Across the Great Wide Open. It's the story of her 90-day adventure traveling 3.5 miles across 5 western states by mule. And the PS to that Tony wrote in was hee-haw. Anyway, let's see, what else? Also, there'll be a new game that we'll do after that. Brad and Jill Lenhart have a game called A Rhyme in Time. They're a sister and brother team. The object of the game is to create a 4-line rhyme in 30 seconds or less based on a word or words that they will give, that is Brad and Jill Lenhart will give to the callers. We can explain that in a little more detail when they come up. And again, we'll be awarding games for the wackiest rhymes. And Sunday, Nancy Sinatra will be on, of course, the daughter of Frank Sinatra. And she has written a book about Frank Sinatra, what she calls the closest thing to his memoirs that we will ever have, the definitive look at the life and career of certainly an incredible legend, son of a gun. And I wonder if Sinatra, if he could snap his fingers a couple of times, tear down everything he's done over the past 50 or 60 years, and do it all over again. You suppose that in the dark of his room there some nights, he sits there and says, boy, that was a great life. What a fun thing. I don't like to be 80. I'd like to be 20 again, and I'd like to do it all over again. Why can't I do that? Well, that's the week after next, I guess, isn't it? Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
Today is what? We're now into the 16th because we're into Saturday. Oh. So that would be, yes, I will be next weekend and then right through for the following week, yes.
Oh,
and
on Monday night,
I'll be on sitting in for Brudnoy, David Brudnoy. So it won't be all through the night. It'll be 7 to midnight. That's when we have a lot of interesting people on that night.
What night is that now?
That'll be Christmas night, December 25th, which is on a Monday night.
Oh.
I believe that's a Monday night, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll be looking forward to hearing you. And I'd like to make a comment, too. It kind of made me feel good today. I understand that the Salvation Army will be able to collect in the malls. And I think a lot of the credit goes to Nancy Claproot because she brought it to the attention of the public this morning.
Yeah.
So that's
That's been, you know, without taking anything away from her, that has been it's been in all the newspapers for several weeks, and columnists have been writing about that. And it was awful that they were not giving the Salvation Army permission. They were making up all kinds of silly excuses. But this is an incredibly wonderful organization, and I would hate the fact that they could not collect money every way they could, because collecting money is a tough thing to do anyway. And when stores say, you know, not outside my store, not in my mall, that makes it especially bad. So I'm glad that that's been resolved.
Well, Norm, I think they did that last year.
Dealing with some police activity in the expressway heading northbound just by Andrews Square. That'll slow things down on icy roads just a bit throughout the overnight. Roadways are icy. Lower deck of Route 93, Tobin Bridge heading into the city. Expressway northbound and southbound, mighty slippery. Ramps, decks, and bridges will be extra slippery this overnight. Drive with extreme care. Also, many motorists have been coming to and from various holiday functions and may be somewhat impaired. Watch out for those travelers. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. This report brought to you by Overland Trading Company. With 7 locations in the Boston area, you don't have to walk far to find a comfortable pair of shoes. And remember, Overland supports the American Express Charge Against Hunger. Join them in the fight against hunger.
When we
Hey, here's Norm Nathan. He's my kind of man. I listen to Norm Nathan every time I can. On WBZ in Boston, the Norm Nathan Show.
Yes, not the Christmas. The music quiz is on. It's on a Wednesday or a Thursday night. It's like the 28th or 29th.
So you're on the week after Christmas.
Yeah. Well, here's what. Hey, you're very nice to ask, and you give me a nice excuse for tooting my own horn. But we'll be on starting next. Aside from this weekend, starting next weekend, the usual weekend stuff, and then we'll be staying on the entire week, which is the Christmas week, except Monday. Which is Christmas night, we'll be on earlier from 7 to midnight because it's felt that getting people all hysterical about politics and screaming at each other and stuff may not be the kind of thing people want to hear at Christmas night. So they get the silly guy on, that's me, so it'll be 7 to midnight. And somebody else will be doing the overnight that night, but then the rest of the week it'll be the overnight, including... And I just discovered this, including New Year's Eve, Neil Chayette feels that people don't want to hear legal problems. And so that's nice. So what we will do on New Year's Eve is come on at 9 o'clock and continue right through the night, that night. So there'll be additional hours the holiday week.
Oh, that's lovely.
Which is kind of nice, I don't work that much the rest of the time. So whenever I grab a few more hours... It's kind of fun. I enjoy that.
Well, I will be unable to listen on Christmas Eve or Christmas night, so I just wanted to make sure you would not schedule a music quiz.
No, it will not be that night. Are you going to do some exotic, wonderful things those nights?
Well, I'm going to church on Christmas Eve. I go to the Unitarian Church in Concord, Mass.
Oh, that must be a lovely ceremony.
It's so beautiful. It's one of those wonderful old white frame New England churches, and there's a candlelight ceremony, but I will admit I get a little nervous. and I try to sit near an exit or a window through which I can plunge if necessary.
Now, why do you get nervous?
All those candles in a frame building.
Oh, I see. Nothing to do with the religion, then, obviously, just the fact that it might be a fire hazard.
I think of the Coconut Grove fire.
Oh, I don't blame you. That is kind of scary.
Particularly when they let children hold candles, and even though they tell people in charge of them to watch them and supervise it very carefully, I'm always rather relieved when that part is over, but it's essentially a carol service, and it's really lovely.
Oh, it sounds great.
My son and daughter-in-law and their family, and their sons.
Oh,
and
nice.
They have practically taken over the church. It's my son says as he doesn't coach Little League or anything, he does a show for the youth group once a year, usually in December. I'm going to see it Sunday afternoon. They're doing Once on This Island this year. He's done Godspell, Joseph in his amazing Technicolor Dream Coat, and Pippin so far. And this thing is, he is a physician, he's in biotech, but he's got showbiz in his blood.
Well, that just shows your whole family.
And this way he can do it and fit it into his business schedule.
Excellent.
Yes, and so it shows the program, amuses me because it says directed by Tom and the same surname, vocal coach Sue, that's my daughter-in-law, same surname, musical director Mike, that's my younger grandson, same surname. They have taken over.
Oh, that sounds like a lovely night.
By the way, if he hears me, it will be a permanent rift, but my grandson, the younger grandson, is a sort of jazz prodigy. He's a senior in high school and looking for where he wants to go to college, and he wants to go for a Bachelor of Music in jazz. He spent 2 summers at Berkeley, and he plays piano and drums, and really like you to know him sometime. He is their music director and also sings, acts, and is gorgeous.
Wow. Sounds like he's got everything going for himself. That's lovely.
Yeah. So, and he's not in this. He's just music director.
Well, I wish you happy holidays. May I say happy Hanukkah, which starts
Sunday night.
Yeah.
Because my older son is dating a girl. His family is quite observant Jewish. And he says Sunday night, oh, Lord, if he hears me, Sunday night. He has to get her home by sundown.
That's interesting because I didn't think too many people observed it quite that closely.
Well, her family does. And I said before she turns into a pumpkin, and he said, don't ever repeat it. Now I'm repeating it to God knows who. He said, sometimes I feel as if I'm dating a werewolf.
That's great. That's funny. I hope it's a good holiday anyway for you. And talk to you soon. And I thank you very much. I was going to say it's always a pleasure, but I always say that. And I determined not to fall into that rut again.
But you think during Christmas week you might have a music quiz sometime during...
Yeah, let me check. Now, the man who's arranged all that, Tony Nesbitt, is with us right this very moment. The question, Tony, is when is the music quiz? What night will that be?
That's going to be Thursday night, Friday morning, the 28th. Into the 29th.
28th into the 20th. Thursday night into Friday morning.
Yep.
Okay. That's that same, obviously, the same Christmas week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start that rather than at midnight when we come on. It'll be the 12:30 or 1 a.m. when we get on with that because our friend Ed Mullen, who does a lot of the rock and roll stuff, he's got his disc jockey job that night.
Yep.
He'll be playing some kind of big function stuff.
Lots of people there.
Well, I'll look forward to it.
Okay, I look forward to that, too. Thank you very much.
Happy holidays to you.
You, too, Helene. Thanks a lot.
Good night.
Bye-bye. I thought what we'd do now, Tony, now that we have you, let me look at this thing, because today the tunnel opened, the Ted Williams Tunnel open to commercial traffic this very day. And it'll be the year 2001 before the rest of us who are not commercial vehicles. Now, you're making faces about 2001. What if you were my age?
No, but that doesn't make any... I don't know. If they can use it, why can't everyone use it?
I don't know. I haven't
seen... That's why I'm making faces.
No, I don't understand why they set those rules up. I got a whole bunch of material here.
Do you?
And it's somewhere in that. They might be saying that. The length, Mark, I have the length is 8,400 feet in total.
Wow.
2,850 submerged. Time to travel under 4 minutes, the cost $2.32 billion. Once approach roads are completed, we got to have new approach roads in the year 2001. That might be.
How can you get to the tunnel if you don't have an approach road?
That's right. So they limited just to commercial vehicles and all that kind of stuff. An immersed tube with traditional cut and cover approaches.
Oh, yeah.
That's traditional. You see that all over the place. That's the kind of tunnels we make.
And that's why they opened it probably, so close to Christmas, keeping in with tradition. You know, they have to have a traditional tunnel.
I would think so.
Yeah, the old submerged tube.
The old submerged tube, yeah.
Ain't what she used to be.
That's right. It says here, the fighter pilot eyes that supposedly could see the seams on a fastball are dimmed by age. The long legs, this is written by Richard Laurent, the Associated Press writer. They get very dramatic, some of these writers.
Shall I get a tissue?
You might want to cry a little bit. The long legs that loped around the base paths need the help of a cane. That is kind of sad, though. Although, why not? I mean, the guy's still alive.
That's right.
But Ted Williams made it clear Friday that the tunnel that bears his name is no memorial. And so forth. He says, every place I go, they're waving at me, sending out a cheer, sending letters and notes and so forth. Anyway, the player John Updike once referred to as a municipal monument. I think I could have come across with something better than that. Yeah. I called him a National Historic Shrine, which I think is good.
Yeah.
And you don't find Laurent quoting me in this cockamamie article.
A municipal monument.
He now has a monument of his own, a $2 billion tunnel on the Boston Harbor that one day should ease monumental traffic jams to and from Logan International Airport. You want to bet? As soon as you get...
Yeah, like that travel time, 4 minutes. That's when there's one car in there at midnight.
Right, that's right. One commercial vehicle.
That's right.
Anyway, Williams in 77 stood for much of the hour-long ceremony during which politicians lined up to pay him homage for his baseball feats, his wartime service, and his charity work for childhood cancer research. Because he was one of the early guys on the
Jimmy
Fund. That's right. Governor Weld was there making a speech. You can bet he'd be there. Every politician who could get an invitation would be there making speeches. After the speeches were over, Williams and Weld tugged at a black drape to expose a bronze plaque showing Williams at the end of one of his famously sweet swings. Williams then reached up and gently brushed the raised image. Well, anyway... The fact is, I've seen Williams play quite a lot of times. In fact, I followed the Red Sox before Williams even was made the team. Can you imagine anybody going back that far? That's right. The outfield was Ben Chapman, Doc Kramer, and Joe Vosmick. You name another broadcaster can name... I'm sorry, what is that?
Did you hit the button?
I hit something, I guess I was not...
That was a nice effect, though, wasn't it?
It was really nice, yeah. It sounded like a cheer for me remembering the old Red Sox outfield. I bet there isn't a guy in broadcasting, and including the sports guys, who remember that.
Without looking up in their,
They'd have to look
it up. Special stat file.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
The Red Sox broke 72 shoelaces that year.
I know, but baseball is great for those kind of statistics. Anyway, apparently there were a lot of people at the tunnel South Boston entrance, including construction work, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the thing I think that it basically is leading up to is the fact that, remember we talked at one time how I always wanted something named after me. Here's the Ted Williams Tunnel.
Yeah, 1992, as a matter of fact.
1992 is when he said that, because at that time, Johnny Carson was still doing the Tonight Show for NBC what's the name of the town in California,
where it's Burbank
California. Burbank, California. And they dedicated a little park, the Johnny Carson Park, which is just outside the NBC studios.
Yeah.
And I thought, that'd be so nice, you know. And then, like in Waukegan, Illinois, there's Jack Benny Junior High School.
Yeah.
And probably certainly a lot named for presidents, that kind of stuff. So
Libraries, I mean, the whole thing, yeah. Every president gets a library.
Yeah, wouldn't you like a Tony Nesbitt? Would you like a library? What would you like named after you? The Anthony Nesbitt Memorial something or other. A library would be nice, or a school would be
nice. No, it would be nice. Well, I was going to say a park. Would be maybe a...
park would be good.
A wildlife refuge.
That would be nice. Yes, yes. That'd be nice, yeah.
That's what I'd like.
Okay.
That'd be nice.
Anyway, we were doing something on that night. Recall, I don't remember how it opens.
It was a magical night. It really was.
It was a magical night. I recall that.
I kind of choked up thinking about it.
I mentioned the fact that since Johnny Carson had a public park, or may have a public park named after him in Burbank, California, in honor of his 20 years broadcasting from the NBC studios in Burbank, right on Bob Hope Drive, and the fact that Jack Benny had a school named after him in Waukegan, Illinois, I was just very anxious to have some kind of a public building named after me, and I have talked to some folks. I don't want to name the community, but it's not far from here. Name the public toilets after me. It isn't exactly what I dreamed about, but it's better than nothing. I'm now about to step on stage. You can hear the crowd gathering. It looks like a pretty friendly crowd, too.
Hello?
This on? Yeah. I want to thank you very much for this great honor. The fact that the city council of this wonderful city, which I know wants to remain anonymous, has given of itself to honor me by naming this beautiful structure, the Norm Nathan Public Toilets. I can't tell you how, you pardon the expression, how moved I am. Thank you. I would like to cut the ribbon, and all of you are welcome to use the facilities in my honor. Thank you. Think of me every time you use these facilities. Thank you. See you later on. Thank you so much. Let's see. We'll take some more phone calls. How about, no, if they want to
tell us who turns them on.
I think that would be
excellent. Who turns Tony on?
Who turns Tony on? I don't know. Tony just left the studio. He's still around. Let me ask. Tony's going to tell me in his ear. And also Ed LeClaire, who's our producer tonight, too. Who turns you guys on? What women turn you guys on? And don't give me that Liz business, Tony.
Don't let them give you a blank stare, either.
No, sometimes guys are afraid to say it because they're afraid that they're... Oh, Christy Brinkley, says Tony. Christy Brinkley, huh? Eddie, is there somebody that turns you on? Michelle Pfeiffer, yeah, she turns me on. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And I'm trying to respond to everybody as soon as I can. I just get a little behind things, but it doesn't mean I don't appreciate it, because I really do. I sit there and I look at the cards and the letters and the notes and everything, and I kind of chuckle, and smile. You have a good time. I mean, this old car, we had a double date, my date in the front seat with me and a friend of mine with his date in the back seat. And we're out on a winter night, and it's icy, and the defroster does not work in this car. You know, so the windshield is all caking up with ice. Can't see out there at all. That didn't keep us at home. I stuck my head out the window, and the ice is hitting your face and all that, too. And that's the way I drove to. I can't even remember where we went. Maybe it was to the totem pole or someplace like that. All that. Used to be a producer here at WBZ. He had his fiancée in the studio, Trish, and he proposed to her on the air. And there was a pause when he said, "Will you marry me?" There was a pause, and I thought, holy crow, she's going to say no. But she didn't say no. She said, yeah. And that was that. So that worked out okay. Anyway, we'll get the information in just a minute. It's about this in case you ever wanted to go that route.
Oh, well, you know.
You know.
Maybe.
Okay, we'll get back to Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Apparently, we had to... we were checking stuff out, and apparently we had the wrong number at first, or Ed did, and now he's got the right one.
Yeah, sometimes I speak too fast.
Okay, Ed is going to... let it ring on the air, Ed? Okay, could you let it... No, you can't let it ring on the air? Oh, you got a machine this time? Oh, that's right, too, Ed. Of course, she has... that's one of the problems these days, Jeff. Is to get these automatic answering machines. Can we put the machine on the air to see whether that's the right number and stuff? This is really tricky stuff, Jeff. You thought this would be easy. You thought it'd be a piece of cake. Might be easy for you just to get married quietly.
Maybe she's listening and
yeah, she
knew
said,
you were calling.
Yeah, she said. She said, "I think he's going to do something terrible. Let's put the machine on, and I'll close the door where the machine is, so I won't even hear it, because otherwise there may be a temptation to answer the thing.
Maybe a new message says, if this is Jeff, the answer is no.
Yeah.
Please leave a message.
Yeah, I'll leave another message.
Yeah, I could leave a message on her machine asking her.
Yeah, could we put the whole thing? Can Ed do that? Can he put the? Oh, there it goes. Yeah. There it goes. Okay. Maybe she'll answer this time, Jeff. Are you nervous at all?
Oh yeah, very nervous. I can hear my heart pounding. Hello.
Oh, this is the machine, I think.
No, someone just said hello.
Oh, hello?
Hello.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What's your name, Jeff? Who are we looking
Jeff
for?
Jeff Blankman.
Pardon me?
Jeff Blankman.
No, no, her name.
Oh, Claire.
Oh, Claire. He just hung up. Do you know who that guy would have been?
It might have been her father.
Her father?
Yeah.
Okay,
he sounded pretty young.
Yeah, he did. He sounded like a young guy.
Did you do 727?
Well, I don't know. Don't say that. Apparently, that's the number. Okay. You did. Let's try it one more time. Okay.
Oh, God.
Ring on the air.
Okay. I think I'm going to go home now.
I'm really nervous.
No, there's no sense in quitting until we wake up everybody all over the town of Essex. Okay. Let's see. Okay. He's punching up the number again. We'll see what happens. Her name is Claire. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. So I didn't know who to ask for. As a matter of fact, When somebody answers, would you speak and explain that you're on the air? Tell them right off?
Yep.
Or do you want me to do that?
Can you do it?
Okay, I'll do that. Okay. Okay, he may be disgusted, whoever that was.
I'll call her ID.
All right, this is Ken Chapman. I to the phone right now, but please leave your name and number after the beep, and I'll get back to you. Thank you.
That's the right number?
Yeah.
That is not... No, who is... Who, oh, why don't you leave a message? Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay. Hi, Dad.
Anyway, I tell you what, we're on the air right now on WBZ. It's 1:45, and Jeff is calling Claire, and apparently we're not getting through. If you can hear, the phone. Somebody must be near the answering machine.
Right.
Could you pick up the phone, please, and be on WBZ with us with Jeff? And we want to talk to Claire. Is she handy?
I think.
Dad, pick up.
Dad, now, why are you saying Dad? You calling him Dad already? Is that Claire's dad?
Yeah, because Jeff is...
I think we're running into some problems, Jeff. I think something...
I think one of the problems is Jeff.
Okay, you think that's it, eh?
Yep. Because he started to do a little Beavis and Butthead laugh, and that was one of the episodes.
Oh, was that?
Call machines and...
Oh, I see. Yeah, I see. So you think he was taking us in, was he?
Yeah, and if he wasn't, then he was an idiot anyway, and why is he saying Dad? It didn't make any sense.
Yeah, you know something? You young guys today got so much more sense than us old, decrepit guys. Okay, Jeff, you took us. Not... the total route, but enough so that we're going to come over and punch your lights on.
Oh, yes. We have caller ID. We know where
that's
you
right.
live.
And nobody lives in Essex. I mean, people do live in Essex, but they're never engaged to people who live in Essex. There aren't that many people who are there. See?
No, you're right.
No, when you're in Essex, you
unless
go to...
are engaged to a sheep or something.
Well, yeah, you go to Rowley or someplace. Because like that, that's where they're...
Georgetown.
That's right. There's hot stuff, hot broads in Rowley. Okay. Well, that was fun while it lasted anyway.
Yeah.
It was kind of a nice little respite in broadcasting.
Certainly. Yeah, it took up a good, 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't do a whole hour on libertarians, which would have been real fun.
3 hours.
Was it 3 hours with his cuckamamie libertarians again?
9 to midnight, and he dedicated it to you as always.
Did he do that?
Oh, yes, yeah. He always does.
I wish we had some music we could play, like, because I know there's the libertarian polka, the dance of the libertarians.
Yes.
And one thing that I really admire about libertarians particularly, I think that's probably true of a lot of other people in politics, is they are absolutely so certain about their positions. No question. No saying, well, you know what I think? I think maybe, never that.
Especially
I know. That guy from Bill Ricker, who I'd like to punch his lights out because he really aggravates the hell out of me.
No, the mic is still on.
I know that. No, this program is totally ad-libbed and spontaneous.
David's reasoning was they have the Libertarian panel on 4 times a year.
Yes.
Whereas the Liberals have shows every day of the week.
Yeah, that's a lot of... Where? Not here. Not on WBZ, they don't. And not on most. It was Marjorie Claproot
I think he mentioned.
She's kind of the token liberal.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, what do you think of that?
I don't know.
Is she much of a token liberal?
No, I don't know. I don't really listen to that station. In all honesty, I do listen to BZ. I don't want to sound like I'm sucking up the management.
No. Yeah.
But that's quite true. I don't hear her.
Yeah.
And I figure she's working with that conservative guy. How liberal? I mean, she's probably liberal, but that would irritate me, having somebody sitting across from me giving the a viewpoint totally opposite from my own. I don't think I can't be that tolerant. So I'm kind of distrustful of people who are, you know?
Yeah.
And beyond that, who else is there in the city who's really liberal? These people keep talking about leftist liberals. And I'm wondering, where are they? Give me a few names. I'd like to call them up. I'm very lonesome because I'm a leftist liberal.
You are not that leftist liberal.
Well, I mean, I'm. You don't have to be that leftist to be a leftist liberal in David Brudnoy's eyes.
Mm.
You know,
if you're moderate,
just believe that welfare people are not fat ladies sitting on their fat butts, you know, refusing to work and collecting money all the time. Then you're a leftist liberal. Am I going too far, do you think?
I don't know. Maybe, because you're going to start getting calls, and that's going to take the whole show. The whole thing will be politics.
No,
then.
I don't.
You
don't
want to
do that. Because I won't do that. Then yeah. I won't discuss politics.
Well, I just thought of, here's a good segue. Ellen Barkin. Now, there's a hot babe.
Yeah, she's an attractive lady. Yeah. She was on
Letterman recently. I've seen her look a lot better than she looked then.
She looks better in the movies, I think. Apparently, they make her up nicely with a nice lighting, although she's an attractive lady anyway.
Her hair was all different, but she still looked... Yes, she's fine.
There were a lot of... anyway, let's take another call. Let's see what Johnny in Boston has to say. Hi, Johnny, you're on WBZ.
How you doing, Norm?
I'm doing so far. I don't know. What do you think? I ought to ask you.
Well, I called because I'm also an Elvis impersonator.
You're an Elvis impersonator, are you?
Yes, I am.
And you're actually a woman in a man's body. Is that what you're saying?
No, not at all. No.
I'm just trying to line you up for the for the Jerry Springer show.
Didn't line me up too well at this point.
No, okay.
Well, I am an Elvis impersonator.
Yeah. Did you want to give us a little 30 seconds of Elvis?
Not really. Wanted to sing over the phone. I mean, I sing in clubs and things like that.
Do you really? Do you really?
No, I seriously do. I sing in clubs, and I mean the whole thing. I'm an entertainer, and I enjoy it. And it's a funny thing, Norm. You just said something that really was incredible.
Wow!
About a minute ago, you mentioned you're lining me up for the Jerry Springer show.
Yeah.
I just came off the Jerry Springer show a few months ago.
What did you do? Were you sitting there wearing a dress or what?
No, not really. I went on the show. I did my psychic act at the end of the show. I put on an Elvis uniform and sang Elvis' 1956 version of Love Me. And that's the truth. That's just a few months ago.
Yeah, and you actually were on the Jerry Springer show.
Yes, I was. I was on the Jerry Springer show. I just come off of there. Well, as a matter of fact, I did the show April something, and the show was on TV a couple of months later. So the show was on sometime in June, and I'm sure a lot of people saw me on there.
So it's a psychic Elvis act.
That is right. You'll probably get a lot of phone calls saying, yes, I saw that guy on there, because what I did was, number one, I read everything that was in a refrigerator. There was a guy there, and there was a chain. I read everything in the refrigerator, got it all correct, and then I came on about 6 minutes before the show ended and put on an Elvis uniform in the dressing room and did his 1956 version of Love Me.
Can you talk like him a little bit?
Well,
Can you mention about what was in the refrigerator? Was there some peanut butter and bananas there?
I mean, if I wanted to talk like Elvis Presley or sing like Elvis Presley, if I was up on stage right now, you know, I could. But when you try to do it over a telephone, it really doesn't come off that clear.
But Elvis, Elvis made phone calls.
I do all his songs. I do every single one of Elvis' songs. I mean, I do them all, actually. What's your favorite Elvis song?
Boy, I don't really have any. I'm not a big Elvis Presley fan, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, but I'm sure that you've heard quite a few of his songs on the radio, Norm. I mean, even if you're not a fan, I'm sure you've heard.
Well, I don't know. See, his big period was during the 50s and 60s.
Viva Las Vegas.
Yeah, his movies were just awful. But I was playing jazz at that time, and you'd have to have stuck a gun between my eyes in order to make me play an Elvis Presley. I'm not knocking the guy. He's done very well, and apparently he was a decent guy, but I never played Elvis. I don't think I ever played an Elvis Presley record, ever, in all the years I've been in this business.
Yeah, well, he was the greatest entertainer of the 50s. Elvis Presley...
No, he wasn't the
Elvis
greatest
Presley,
entertainer of the 50s. Wait a minute. Of
Elvis
course he was.
Elvis Presley, Roy Orbison, Buddy Holly, those are the people that actually made rock and roll in the 50s, except for the singing groups themselves, which I have every record.
Well, that's true. If you're talking rock and roll, you're right there. That's true. And incidentally, I was trying to think, on New Year's, not New Year's, but Christmas night, we're having Dick Feeney on, who's the president of the Flying Elvi.
Is that right?
They skydive. Did you see the movie Honeymoon in Vegas with the skydiving Elvises? There are a whole bunch of them parachuted down.
Who
books your show?
Yeah. No, I wasn't asking you. I was asking this guy. Now, Tony booked this guy. So I wasn't telling him. I was telling you. But anyway, they were in the movie and they did skydive. You have seen the movie then, obviously. You just said you did.
Right.
Okay. Okay, well, I appreciate talking with you, Johnny. I got to get going now, but thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Hey, you couldn't do that? I mean, geez, over the phone?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Somebody once called me, and they wanted me to do John Wayne over the phone to see whether I could do it well. I don't do a great John Wayne, but on a phone, it's sometimes kind of tough. So I remember there was a woman from an advertising agency wanted the voice of John Wayne. For a commercial,
even though you don't do,
I don't normally do him, but somehow I said, well, yeah, I could probably fake some kind of a voice that sounded like him, you know, like, let's hitch up the horses and get out of here. And she said, that stank, something like that, and hung up on me, and that was the end. So I've never auditioned, and I auditioned one other time. Some people wanted me to audition on the phone. It's very hard to do that if you come into a studio and you got conditions, you get yourself psyched up for it. I can understand how you'd not want to do it any other way.
Oh, I don't know. Then you get the people there looking at you with their little pads and, you know, legal pads and their pencils saying, nope, nope. So that's nice. So you're over the phone, so there's kind of a little bit of, I don't know, anonymity behind it?
Well, in a way, yeah. In a way,
I know the quality isn't going to be there, but if you're going to sound like them, you're going to sound like them.
I guess you'd sound like them on the phone. Yeah, you hang up and that's the end of it. You don't have to trek into the big city in a recording studio. And then I'm telling you how rotten you are.
Exactly.
Yeah. They might as well tell you on the phone, save you the trip.
Yeah, in the comfort of your own home.
They can tell
you. See
you
later, buddy. Yeah, you stink.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, here's Bob in Framingham. Bob, hello.
Hi, Norm. I love your show. I'm really just calling because it was a year ago today that my wife and I had gotten married, and it sparked a little something in me when I heard the young gentleman before the last call was talking about wanting to propose to his future fiancée over the phone. And I said, well, I'm going to have to you know, prove that things do work out for people. It's been a beautiful year for my wife and I.
Oh, Wednesday.
That's right.
It's kind of thrilling.
Yep, and then in Revere on the 27th. What is it?
Yeah,
following Wednesday.
Something of that nature.
Yeah.
You know what I'm gonna hope that you would do?
What?
We're coming up to the news now in about 10 seconds.
Sure.
I would like very much for you,
yeah,
in your best announcer voice,
ooh,
whoops, to do the station break in the next 4 seconds.
WBZ Boston.
2 o'clock, is it?
Yeah.
Mason Adams is known for his for the Smucker's commercial, although he does tons of others as well, but that's probably
Lou
the
Grant.
Best one. That's a great show, the Lou Grant Show.
Yeah.
I noticed the other day that it was written by a woman named April Smith. I hadn't noticed that before. Because that's a beautifully written show, and it just didn't last anywhere near as long as it ought to have.
It was at least 3 or 4 years, maybe?
No, I didn't think it lasted that long. You may be right, but I didn't think it lasted that long. It didn't seem to me like it lasted long enough to... Maybe you're right, maybe, but I didn't think it lasted long enough for them to be many reruns, but I'm seeing some shows that I've seen, but I'm seeing some shows that I don't remember having seen before.
Well, he played what, Rossi in that?
No, Mason Adams, you mean?
Yeah.
No, he was the assistant to Mrs. Pinchot, who was the woman who owned the newspaper.
Okay.
And he was the guy who would talk about Rossi was I forget the real names of these people, but Rossi was one of the reporters. And, of course, Lou Grant was the editor of, what do they call it, the Los Angeles Tribune.
Yeah.
And Mason Adams would always say, look, Lou, tell Rossi to go out and cover this thing. You know, he talks like that.
That's a pretty good
guy. Yeah, but it was kind of funny. Here's a guy who's been in broadcasting since the 30s. There used to be a soap opera back in the 30s called Pepper Young's Family. And Mason Adams was Pepper Young. I don't remember that show too well, but he was around then, and it was a popular show. And he's been...
At something else besides the law?
Yes, he is. On New Year's Eve, he's on, because that's on a Saturday night, between 9 and 11 is when he... that's a Sunday night. Sunday night from 9 to 11, isn't it? Yeah. New Year's Eve is Sunday night.
Yep.
Anyway, he figures that people... Well, he figures a couple of things. Number one, people that don't care about maybe legal problems so much on New Year's Eve.
Right,
and I think he'd like to take the night off and to go to a party himself, and I don't blame him for that. I'm here anyway at 11, so I just... the suggestion was we start a couple hours earlier.
So you start at 9?
We'll start at 9 instead of 11 and then go right through the night and stuff. That's just as easy. I don't know. It used to be, I remember when I was much younger, New Year's Eve was kind of fun. You'd say, boy, I stayed up all night, you know, and that'd be a big thrill. But I've been staying up all night for a lot of years, and it's no big thrill
it's
anymore.
All bad for you.
Yeah, so I don't mind that kind of stuff.
I got to ask you, I know sometimes just before the commercials you play a little bit of music just for a few seconds.
Yes.
Have you played any of the... I just got this album here from by Vince Guaraldi, who I think is excellent.
Oh, yeah. Fine pianist.
Christmas music. Did he write... When did he write those Christmas songs? Did he write those just for that Peanuts special?
I think he wrote some other stuff, too, but I know he did write the score for a lot of the Peanuts movies. Offhand, I've forgotten which ones... What he may have written in addition to that. But he did do all the Peanut stuff and played piano on all of them also.
I think some of those specials came out, the earliest of them that his music is in, I think, is in the middle to late 60s, I guess.
Yes, I think that's so.
Is he like a contemporary of, what is his name, Dave Brubeck, or is it?
Well, he would have been around then, yeah. Brubeck would go back. Yeah, they would be contemporaries, yeah, I would guess so. Brubeck goes back to the... 50s.
They're a little similar.
Well,
just a little.
Well, they're both, you know, were, you know, kind of modern pianists of that era. Dave Brubeck a little farther out, a little more adventurous than Vince. Vince Guaraldi. I call him Vince like I met him. I never have met him. Vince Guaraldi.
Old Vince.
Yeah, I love to say his name, Vince Guaraldi.
Is he still alive today, do you
know? I don't think he is. I'm not positive of that, but I don't think he is. Because obviously Dave Brubeck is,
yeah.
And he's still recording stuff.
All right. You are having the game, right?
Yes, I am.
Could you turn me over, please, to see if I'm fit to be on the game?
Sure, sure. He's Ed LeClaire. And those of you who would like to play the game, you can call the same phone number, 617-254-1030, talk to Ed. Let's go to Marguerite. At home film. I was trying. You're talking about my mother and dad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I was trying to think. When you said that, I was thinking of like a Humphrey Bogart movie or something.
No, these were home movies. And my cousin worked for Feline for like 40 years.
Yeah.
And this is when she was a young girl. And so she said to me, "Do you know who that couple are?" And they were fooling around. You know, your mother was adorable.
She was a nice-looking lady.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. My father looked a lot like me, so he was not terribly good.
Oh, no, he was nice-looking, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, she said she knew the whole family, and she had gone to Bob. Is it your sister Barbara?
Yes.
To her shower and her wedding.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I said, "Oh, I love Norm Nathan. I listen to him all the time." So I was so thrilled. I said, "You know, sometime I'm going to call him and tell him."
Well, isn't that interesting? That's really nice. And these were pictures. They weren't taken at any special affair, just a...
No, this was taken at the Westwood Country Club or something. It was like Feline's had an outing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, and your mom and dad were there, and she said, and your father had been a meat cutter or something, and he retired.
He was in the grocery business. He used to work for the First National stores. Remember them?
Yeah.
Because there aren't any anymore.
No.
And certainly not around here that I'm aware of. But he was a manager of one of the First National stores for a lot of years. He was in the grocery business that way. And then later on, after he retired from that, he worked, I guess, part-time at Filene's Basement, and that's where my mother worked for a long time, lower Filene's Basement.
Yeah, well, she worked with Emma every day. They were very close friends. And they were so cute in the film because they were hugging each other, you know, and
they were
younger then.
I guess so.
She said she had met you and your wife when you were first married.
Yeah.
So I thought it was kind of nice.
That's kind of, you know, all about us now, Marguerite.
Yeah.
There's no secrets I can hold back from you at all.
Oh, she said you were a beautiful, beautiful family. She loved you.
Well, thank you very much.
And the name of the building on Huntington Avenue was the old Mechanics Building and the Horticultural Hall.
Oh, that's right. Mechanics Building, I think, is the one the woman was referring
to.
Yes. Okay,
thanks. They had a lot of fans there. How have you been?
Good. I've been fine. How you been, Joan?
I hope you have a nice holiday.
You too. Have a nice Christmas, Joan.
Thank you very much for talking to me, sir.
Oh, it was a great pleasure, ma'am. Okay, let's go to work.
Oh, you're a beautiful man.
Isn't that awful? Why send it to, it's enough to send you to a bottle of vodka or something. Anyway, that's the guy you're talking about. Hey, Jeff, have a great Christmas. To you for even thinking of it. It's always it's been nice to know you these past few years.
Do you have a party?
Yeah, one of my daughters, it's a family party is what I'm just kind of mumbling.
A shindig that will be on television?
I suppose we could do that. Norm Nathan celebrates his 70th birthday. We could have tributes by some of the greats and the near greats.
Yeah.
But somehow nobody agreed to come or to put it on television. Anyway, say WBZ Boston so we can have a station break. I got to go to the news.
Okay, I love you, Norm. WBZ Boston, 4:00.
ABC News, I'm Dorothy.
City light volume, but we are still dealing with slipperiness. Ramps, decks, and bridges will be especially icy, especially as the early part of the Saturday morning commute builds. Traveling outside of the city, routes 128, 495, the Mass Pike, doing slippery but well. I'm Jack Hart, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network. This report brought to you by Overland Trading Company.
Little Baby Snoogle, S-N-O-O-G-L-E.
G-L-E.
Yeah, dash. F-L-E-E-J-E-R. little baby.
J-E-R-S-Q.
Yeah, and Snoogle Fleeger, I guess, as she mentioned, it just was kind of a funny word. Somehow she made it up.
That's cute. That's really nice.
You're a sentimental person, aren't you? I can tell.
I like it.
Yeah, because I get emotional about those kind of things, too. I think that's so nice. Yeah. Anyway, tell me what I can do for you.
No, nothing. I just want to say that I fell asleep earlier this evening. I woke up about 3 o'clock just before the birthday game, and I heard you talking to Jack about his future plans and also Ed about Elizabeth, and I thought that had such a human touch to it. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, they're both good kids, and I know. Well, I've met both Monin. I have a feeling. I have a feeling I'm saying her name wrong.
Monin. I think he said Monin, didn't he? Is it Monin?
Yeah. Oh, Monin. Yes. I don't know why that's so hard for me to remember, but I remember her very well. I've met her. And Jack is an extremely good-looking guy, so they're obviously a good-looking couple. And so is Ed LeClaire, and his fiancée, Elizabeth, who's a sweetheart of a lady.
Right.
So I'm so glad when I see my kids doing well.
Isn't it wonderful?
I mean, they could both be married to some floozies or something, but
yes,
they have great tastes, and their fiancées are very lovely people.
Yes, I think that was really nice, the human touch.
Yeah.
That was really great. And I'm sorry you refused that proposal this evening and are still waiting for Sophia Loren.
Yeah.
But, hang in there. I don't like hang in there. Just stay in there.
I'll hold in there. I'll stay there as long as I can.
Right.
But we were talking about her a little bit earlier, the fact that she was on, I guess she was, oh, yeah, she was, that's right, she was on the Larry King show. Was that right? She was on one of the shows anyway. Within the past week, and she also
she's going to be in a movie, isn't she?
She's in the sequel to The Grumpy Old Man.
Oh yeah, I bet you that's going to be good.
Yeah, called Grumpier Old Man or something like that. It's a sequel name.
Tonight.
Yeah, he had 3 hours of these libertarian business with his panel, and it drives me crazy because the Libertarian Party gets about nothing percent of the vote. They're not a factor. They don't mean anything, and they're so sure of their positions.
Yeah, they're
you know, I mean, they don't even say what I think is just what you know. This
they
is what it is.
They blurt it out. Yeah.
Yeah, but I went further than that. I mentioned one of them by name, and I said I'd like to punch out his lights something or break his nose. That was going too far. I said that on the beginning of the program.
Because
they were on during the last 3 hours of
I heard
program.
A little bit of it. I got home late tonight from work and I heard a little bit of it and I think that's why I fell asleep because I turned it on because I had watched the 11 o'clock news and then I said I'm going to turn it on, maybe Norm's on. But I heard the guys. But I wonder sometimes if we don't have some paid lobbyists around here somewhere or what, because they just seem to go on and on and on and on about.
Oh yeah, no, David Brudnoy is a libertarian himself. He believes very strongly in that, and so he does have them on. He claims it only 4 times a year, so that's not too much. But the 3 hours that are shot. Whether it's too much or not depends on what your political outlook is. And mine does not happen to be along those lines. And so he knows that, and he dedicates the program to me when that happens.
I know it. I heard him say
yeah, and I think, well, okay, that's very kind of him. He's being a better sport than I am when I threaten, say that I would like to punch the lights out of one of the guys on there who bothers me. That's too strong, and I apologize for that. There was no need of my
sometimes we have to take a deep breath before we say
something. I know. I see, but when I was younger, I never would have said that. I would be very cautious about anything.
Yeah.
So you're actually hearing the real me, which is probably not any prize.
Oh, you're a good prize. Listen, so many women out there are looking for men just like you, and I think you just encourage them to just keep looking.
Yes, you keep looking, and you'll find your own little fat old guy soon, and it'll be nice.
We've been through this before. Now,
okay.
You know your image to the women out there is something very, very special. So on your 70th birthday, put that new tie on that Christian's going to send you and look yourself in the mirror and say, boy, it's great.
I wish I could do that. Okay.
I know. You're a shy man, but we love that shyness. That
you know something, Jill, you're very nice. You boosted my self-esteem all over the place.
Mary said it. I think, maybe I did go in and out sleep, but I heard somebody say, it's so nice to have you on there, and she wished that you were on there more. And I know it's a sacrifice sometimes for you to come in there for 2 hours, but darn it, it's really great to know you're there.
Thanks a lot. No, I love being on the air, and I think, again, with this stage of my life where I feel totally relaxed and comfortable, and I don't even worry about what it is I'm saying, which is probably a mistake. I mean, there should be some tension. You should wonder. But anyways, it's a fun thing and fun to talk with you. And before we get too soupy, let me wish you a very happy Christmas, June, and I thank you very much.
Okay, and you take care.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to, Llewellyn. Llewellyn in Pennsylvania. Hi, Llewellyn.
Hello.
I've kept you waiting for a long time, and I appreciate you still being there. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
All the best people are born in December.
You too, huh?
Yeah, I share a birthday with Andy Williams and Ozzy Osbourne.
Okay, we'll go to Kathy, who was in Lynn. Kathy, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, Kathy. We're going to give you the letter L for Lynn, okay?
Okay.
All righty. 45 seconds. Here we go. An animal.
Lion.
A lion. And a fruit.
Path.
Okay. A foreign language.
Lithuanian.
Okay, that counts. Horoscope sign.
Leo.
A body part.
Limb.
Limb.
Leg.
Either one's fine. Type of shoe.
Path.
Okay. A college.
Path.
U.S. city.
Lynn.
I guess that will count that one. Item found in the kitchen.
Lamp.
A lamp. Good. And something found in the sky.
Lights.
Lights. You've got it. That's 7.
Okay. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Okay. Yeah. Congratulations, Kathy. Boy, you're going to be sending out a ton of games, I tell you, Jeff.
We may have to send a truck just directly to your studio.
Okay. Let's see. We have Mary in Quincy. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
How you doing? Okay.
Nervous.
Mary, you're going to do just fine.
Okay.
I've got a feeling on this one.
Okay.
We're going to do the letter T. Okay.
Okay.
T as in Tom. Okay. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Here we go. A color.
Tan.
A movie title.
The Great Escape.
Okay. The Great Escape. An animal.
Tiger.
A woman's name.
Tanya.
Tanya. A type of sandwich.
Torpedo.
Torpedoes. Torpedo sandwich? Okay. Uh-oh. How about a magazine title?
Time.
A sport.
Tennis.
Tennis. A word ending in E.
Time.
Cloak. You've got it. That's fine. Actually, I threw in an extra one because I wasn't sure about torpedo.
Right.
So you got 8 in 45 seconds. You won the game.
Yeah. Right, as a matter of fact, in only about 35 seconds. Oh. That was very, very, very well done.
Thank you.
Okay.
I told you, you had nothing to be nervous about.
Okay. We're going to the center of the state, Blackstone, and Leanne out
there. Good morning, guys.
Hi, Leanne.
I've been dialing and dialing to get through.
I know the lines have been pretty well jammed up the whole time, but I'm glad you did get through.
I was never going to get through.
Well, you're through now. Are you ready to play?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. We're going to do the letter D, as in dog.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. U.S. city.
Dallas.
Dallas. Musical instrument.
Drum.
A toy.
Drum.
Okay. A movie title.
Pass.
Okay. Comic strip character.
I'll pass on that one.
Okay. Item of clothing.
Drawers.
Drawers. Woman's first name.
Diane.
Diane. Amusement park's name.
Disney World.
Disney World will count. How about a country, starting with D?
A country with D? No.
Mm-hmm.
Pass.
Okay. How about a tree?
A tree? No. Pass.
An athlete?
No. Pass.
Oh, you had 6.
Oh.
You were so close.
yeah, you did. You were awfully close there.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you, Leah.
Bye-bye.
Glad you made it through. Thanks for playing.
Yeah, she was very cheerful for somebody who just didn't quite make it.
Well, and let alone at whatever, what is it, 2 in the morning now coming up?
It's about 5 minutes of 2, that's right. Yeah. We have Paul who's in Somerville. Hi, Paul. You're on WBZ.
Hello. How you doing, guys?
Okay.
Hi, Paul.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. Let's try the letter G.
G?
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. A sport.
Golf.
Something round.
Globe.
Globe. Very good. A color.
Green.
A language.
Pass.
Pass. A food.
Grape.
A river or lake.
Pass.
A magazine title.
Pass.
Woman's first name.
Gloria.
Gloria. A slang word.
Golly.
A emotion.
Glad.
Glad. You've got it. That's 7.
Oh. Okay, very good, Paul.
Thank you.
You came through like a champion. You're my role model from here on.
Okay. He was pretty cool on that one, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. I think maybe his... Maybe he wasn't as cool underneath. He was just, his mind was moving wildly trying to come up with these things. We have Faye, who is in Somerville. Hi, Faye.
Hi, Norm. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I guess we're both okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you haven't heard, we're doing great tonight.
Pardon me?
If we are doing great tonight, Faye.
Yes, I hope so.
Oh, good. Okay, here we go. We're going to give you the letter O.
O?
O as in O.
Open.
Open. There you go.
All right.
Okay?
Right.
Well, I've thought about it, and the one I was going to say is the very first clue, so I didn't want to give it away. It's our very first category. That was why. Here we go. Ready? The letter is O. 45 seconds. Let's start with color.
Orange.
Orange. See? A movie title.
Pass.
Okay. Something found in the sky.
Pass.
Okay. Candy bar.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, gosh. It's not a candy bar.
Pass.
Okay. Oh, Henry is. How about a famous actor? O could be the first name or the last name.
Oh, I can't think of that.
Okay. How about a TV show?
Mm-mm.
Okay. How about a college?
No.
Okay. Word ending in E?
Orange.
Good. Word ending in N?
Open.
Open. You use that one again. Good. How about a food?
No. That's all right. Thank you.
Thanks for playing. She sure got a lot of mileage out of orange, though, didn't she?
Right. Right.
And always kind of a tough letter, also, to find all those things, I think.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think O is a tough letter. You're right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for trying.
Bye-bye. Enjoy playing.
Thanks a lot, Faye. I think we're just going to have time for one more, and this is Wally in Brockton. Hi, Wally.
Hey, how you doing, Norm?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Hi, Wally. Let's do the letter W.
W. Oh, okay.
W for Wally.
All right.
Okay, here we go. 45 seconds. Liquid.
A water.
Water. A fruit.
Watermelon.
Good. U.S. state.
Washington.
A toy.
Walkie-talkie.
Walkie-talkie. An animal.
Pass.
A movie title.
Pass.
A sport.
A sport. Water skiing.
Water skiing at college.
College. Watertown University.
Okay, and a man's name.
William Henry James.
There we go. You've got it.
I got it.
You did it.
Cool. You did it. Hey, Wally, congratulations.
Thank you, Norm.
Thank you very much for playing the game with us. And Jeff Pinsker, thank you very, very much. It's always fun to have you on the program with us.
Norm, I'm delighted to do it. My pleasure.
Okay, so we got ASAP. We've got 20 questions and all the swell stuff that you have thought up.
He's beyond compare, and so debonair. He shines so bright. Here on BZ 103, oh please don't turn that dial. He makes me smile.
Oh, what a guy. What a guy. Jeez. Oh. Zowie. Oh, I'm sorry. I understand.
Do you know when he retired, I think I read that he had the longest-running TV talk show?
He did. He was on forever and ever. He was on the WWOR TV Channel 9
so,
in New York.
Yeah.
And he had the weirdest guests on, you know, some third-rate performer in some little dinky club in New York. And,
did you see the night he had the Marilyn Monroe lookalikes on?
No, I didn't. Well, I guess I didn't watch them all that much.
That must have been decided about 5 minutes before they went on the air, and somebody ran out and grabbed the first six hookers they could find and stuck blonde wigs on their head and try to make them look like... None of them looked like Marilyn Monroe. So hysterical.
I know. And he always did funny things with his face and his mouth while he was talking.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. See, I'm beginning to stammer.
Lots of times he would forget things in that lib, and he did it terribly.
Yeah, no, I never could understand why that would be the longest-running television show, maybe in the history of television anywhere. I thought maybe he owns the station, or maybe there must be some reason they kept him on.
I don't know, but everybody I know said the same thing you did, and that is they looked at it for laughs. I wanted to ask you a question. Did you ever hear that honesty is the best policy?
I guess I have heard that phrase, yes.
Don't you believe it?
What happened?
I ruined a 3-year relationship tonight by being honest. I went up to see a friend of mine, and she thinks she's an artist, and she paints. And I don't understand. I mean, if it doesn't look like a photograph, I don't know what these things are, these forms and so forth.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, of course, there's all surrealistic art or impressionistic, and if you want something to look like a photograph, you might as well take a photograph, but that isn't what art is all about.
Well, be it as it may, she showed me the painting because she had finished it, and she said, how do you like it? And I said, well, the colors are nice. I like the colors. She says, yeah, but what do you see when you look at it? And I said, well, there's a man standing in a field holding a cane. She said, oh, that's not a cane. It's a staff. And I said, oh, all right, a staff. And she said, and what are all the little things around him? And I looked at them, and I said, they're French poodles. And she got very mad at me, and she said, those are sheep. And I started laughing.
Well, that's a good way to come on.
And she got furious.
Yeah.
And she got so mad that she started crying, and she said, oh, you criticize everything I do. I'm sick of this. Get out. Get out. And I got chased out for being honest.
Well, for being tactless, you might say.
Why do people ask you what you think of something when you don't know what to say?
Well, you mean, why do they ask you to give their comments, your comments on things when they really don't want to know your real comments? They want you to dress it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that should have been it. You could have said, that's a very interesting painting. But she shouldn't have asked you specific questions.
I know.
Like that, like what is this and what is that and, he's, you know, what is he holding and all of that kind of stuff. Did she really go through that?
Yeah, we really went through that.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll make up. You know, a couple of days, we'll make up.
Is this somebody you're kind of sweet on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah,
you don't want to antagonize with that.
3-year relationship, and I don't want it to end over whether or not it's a pack of sheep or French poodles.
Yeah, I suppose there have been romances that ended with less provocation than that, but I hope you do get together with it, for heaven's sakes.
But you know, if you're going to fight, you usually end up fighting over something silly. Isn't that the truth?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's probably so. Yeah, yeah. Hey, Fred, good luck to you, and let me know how you make out.
I will.
Lady.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care, bye-bye. I just want to take one more call before we get to the news. This is Sally down in Plymouth. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Normie, baby.
Hey, Sally, baby.
Hey, that guy's a loser without a mezuzah.
Something like that.
I got to tell you that my cat was on television.
Well, I'm glad you called to tell me that. What program was he on?
Oh, he was on HBO in Tales from the Crypt.
Your cat or a cat that looked like your cat?
No, my cat.
How did that happen?
My son is friends with a director that does Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, really?
And he wanted a kitty. I call him Kitty, but his name on his union card is Gypsy Ford.
Gypsy Ford, and that's a girl's name.
No, he's a gypsy.
Oh, I see.
He, when I'm in Florida, he goes to my son's house. So that's why I call him Gypsy.
Oh, I see. Did he?
Well, anyway,
did he perform well?
Yeah, well, he didn't have much to do. Anyway, I don't drive anymore, so my daughter-in-law came over, and she said, do you want Kitty to be in the TV show? And I said, well, I can't help him up there. Oh, we'll take him up. So she works in a pet store, so she brings the carrier and takes him up there, and he does his little bit. And I guess all he did was eat some cat food.
Okay.
So anyway, a month later, she said they want Kitty back. I think they wanted Kitty back because he was free. So anyway, they took him up and did some more.
Okay, now where is he now? Is he back with you?
Oh, sure. He's here.
Is he wearing dark glasses and everything and acting like the movie star?
And smoke cigarettes.
With the long cigarette holders.
Exactly. And lays on his back and crosses his legs.
And has a little beret on.
Uh-huh.
I see. Okay.
Boy, you know everything, Norm.
Oh, yeah. I've come across these temperamental actors before in my life, you know. I know all that stuff.
Okay.
Okay, Sally, thank you very much. That's a funny story.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you.
He had a dream. Let's see, tonight's Thursday, Wednesday. I guess he had it Monday night. And he said that, he did say that he was taking some sort of medication for his feet. And it makes him sleep pretty well, but he had the radio on. And obviously, he was dreaming as he heard Victoria talking. But it was a really crazy dream. He dreamed that, he dreamt that he had picked up some lady, maybe some lady, some lady of the night or something. Anyway, I don't know how beautiful she was or what, but anyway, he picked up this lady and he went to WBZ and he went into what they called the priest house, and he was a priest in the dream. And this lady, this older lady, was in the priest house, and he said, I had never been in this area of BZ before. And he said that the lady was kind of hesitant about this lady that he brought in. And so he said, oh, it's okay, I'm fond of Brednoid. And and he said towards the end, and then at that time he could see Victoria walking around with a microphone talking. And then he said he just couldn't tell the end because he said it didn't end that great, but I guess it must have gotten pretty steamy.
My goodness sakes, she's got a whole life going there that a lot of us don't know about, eh?
So, on the commercial break, he told Victoria about it, but he started to tell her when she came in, last night that was, so maybe tomorrow night you could get the details that he couldn't say on the air.
Yeah, maybe ask him during a news break and say, fess up, fella.
Okay.
Hey, take care of yourself, Arlene. I feel like I don't want you to tell me more because I feel like I'm prying into a personal life.
Oh, God, no, I wouldn't tell you anymore. I do have something crazy to tell you another time. Maybe I could tell you real quick. I read this book of, it's a knitting book, and it has patterns from a contest, and there was this lady that had spun her boyfriend's dog's hair and made a sweater out of it.
Oh, yeah. No,
I wanted to tell you about that.
Oh, yeah. People do that now. They do that.
Yeah, and I think it was a Weimarama. I thought that was really neat.
I think that's neat, too, Arlene. Hey. Hey, simmer
okay.
down. Simmer
hey,
down.
Take care. And Norm?
Yes.
I just wanted to ask you one more thing.
Okay.
I'm glad Fred called a few times, but I never heard him talk about his cat. I guess it must be okay.
I don't know
if I missed anything.
Fred and his cat. Now, he mentioned last time that the cat was very friendly to him when it was outside.
Oh, I missed that conversation.
No, when it was outside, but not in the house necessarily.
Oh, okay. Well,
so he's still having problems with it to some point, but I guess there's a truce and they're managing to live with each other.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was just wondering about that. I was wondering if I had missed any conversations.
Okay, take care,
Arlene. Take care, bye.
Bye-bye, Arlene. That's my friend Arlene. That's who that is. Yes, that's true.
That's true.
That's true.
Is it Lucy?
Yes, it is, Robert.
I think I met you one time a long, long time ago.
Really? Where would that have been?
It was some nightclub I work. I think that's when I hung my tuxedo up. What was the name of that place? Is it the Essex in the combat zone?
Yeah, the Naked Eye. Mm-hmm.
Is that the Naked Eye?
The Naked Eye.
They had 10 girls.
Well, I don't know how many girls they had, but off and on, it varied.
Now, this is a little while back now.
Yeah.
And three shows a night.
Yeah.
Three-piece band.
Yeah, when I first went there, you're right, there was a three-piece band for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And I walked in and I said, I'm supposed to
do
dance.
Do you remember the place?
Do I?
Essex Hotel was across the street.
The hotel. I do remember that. Didn't they blow it up or demolish it or something?
Probably they did.
Yeah.
Now, I remember what you did. I used to work an awful lot with a lot of, we called them exotic dancers or belly dancers.
Right.
Not strippers.
Right.
That was disgusting.
Oh, God.
And always the exotic dancer was the star of the show.
Right. That's true. The dancers were treated a lot better back then.
Well, they were beautiful.
Yeah. There was a much much better defined line between dancing and prostitution. You know, it was very, very
Well,
clear.
I don't know about that.
No, but I'm saying that's why
you understand what I'm talking about.
They were
about.
Ladies.
But it is true. In those days, way, way back now, I don't want to go back to Lillard St. Cyr or those people, but I'm talking about today, they were beautiful girls. We'd have one young lady on the show, a singer, an acrobatic or a tap dance team or something like that, and she was the star. She was the only one that had the photograph in the newspaper.
Right. And a comedian. Don't forget the comedian.
Oh, no. I was like the MC.
Wow.
But it's so nice.
No. They had an MC for a little while.
Is the business
he was a
still
midget.
Good today? Is the business still good?
Yeah, but it's completely different. Different. It's a whole different ballgame. It's more like go-go dancing, sort of.
That's funny how you said back then it was a better defined line than it is now.
Yeah.
And you figure the combat zone and that whole experience down there didn't even...
Yeah, but see, the way you look at the combat zone now... It was so different then. There were about 16, 18 clubs open then.
Yes.
There were prostitutes in the street, but it was
not
so clear.
Nightclub, not
no,
nightclub.
No, never. No, never,
no,
ever,
no,
ever.
No, 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 no.
No, they got tossed
not.
Right out. It was, you know,
these were
clearly defined territories.
These were Broadway girls.
Right.
It was so beautiful. I was so proud to introduce them at that time.
Yeah.
And the lights and everything would go up.
Yeah, it was much more of a show.
Wardrobe.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Now
and
it doesn't matter.
They never took anything off.
Right. Well.
You know, you were talking about Wanda. We were talking about Lily St. Cyr. You weren't familiar with her at all?
I am.
Because her act was just the opposite. She would come out nude. Mm-hmm. Well, not totally nude because they wore G-string and the pasties. But her act was getting dressed on stage, just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most, really an erotic performance. It was wild to watch it, even though, I mean, it would get more erotic the more clothes she would put on.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would go over to you guys. Do you ever think about that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, because I can remember, she was an incredibly attractive woman, and just the suggestive moments that she put clothes on was really kind of wild. And she was a very, very big name. Do you recall that, Robert?
Oh, of course. Gaiety Theater in Montreal. And I had the pleasure of working at the Gaiety Theater. And I was only a youngster, a kid.
You never told me that you worked burlesque. I didn't realize
it's
that.
It's not burlesque. It was vaudeville, but she was the star. She took a bathroom scene and she'd excite the men in the audience. It was a theater.
That's right. She'd come out and she'd take a bath first and then would get dressed.
Right.
And by the time she was all dressed, I mean, you were going nuts.
Everybody went. Peaches. Do you remember Peaches?
Yes, I do remember Peaches.
Who is the lady who was burlesque theater in Boston?
Ann Corio?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was the one. I never saw her perform, but she was the one trying to save the old Howard Theater, which was a really historic building. It had been a church, and it had been a legitimate theater and all that kind of stuff. Then it became a burlesque theater. But it was one of the old buildings in town that should have been retained, and it was not. And she came to town and trying to prevent the club from the theater from being demolished.
Right.
It should not have ever been demolished. It was a shame. But I never saw her perform. Was she pretty good?
Very, very, very good.
She was a big name. She was right in the same category as Gypsy Rose Lee.
They're just starting in the business at that time.
Yeah.
It's such a pleasure. You didn't hang up on me, Mr. Norm Nathan.
Well, because
you're talking to people I enjoy working with, and I worked many, many years ago.
Well, I did hang up on you because you're making sense now, Robert. I hope it's a trend that will continue.
Does Robert have a different name that he uses sometimes?
No.
Bob O'Neill.
Bob O'Neill was the nightclub.
I was a boy comic when I was a youngster. The
makes
sense. Bad Gag.
The thief of Bad Gag.
Norm doesn't like me to sing.
No, I do
impressions. I tap dance. I wear kilts. Is Norm Nathan
and that's
almost
just the
good
house.
Looking?
Yeah. Is Norm Nathan what?
Almost good looking.
He's awesome.
Very good looking.
He is, huh? I've never met that man.
No, we never have met. And
I don't want to meet you.
Purposely, no, I don't want to meet you either.
But isn't he a nice man, isn't he?
He's a doll.
He is a living doll.
Oh, Robert, I like it when they say it better than when you say it. When you say it, I feel uncomfortable when you say it. Hey, Robert, I got to get going now.
Norm, may I hang up on you?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's
kind of funny.
He was about it, too.
He's off the sauce to some point.
Yeah.
And he's trying to cut down on smoking and all of that. And when he calls, he makes sense now. And he's fun to talk with.
That's
he
riot.
Never used to be. I had to hear his voice. And
I remember
crazy.
His voice. I think that's what I was asking, if he called in under a different name.
Well, before, all you'd hear was Norm would say, Robert, and Robert would go, yes, Norm, and that was it. That's
right.
All you ever heard of him.
Yeah, I remember that.
And Robert was gone.
Okay. Let's take one more call before the news. We have Kevin, who's in the town of Bellingham, which is still the opposite way from where you guys are in Tingsboro. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning, Norm. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Is that the way they talk in Bellingham, like a southerner, eh?
Well, actually, I'm from Dallas, Texas.
Oh, I see. Okay. You're on a terrible phone, too.
Yeah, a little bit. I was just wondering, have the girls always aspired to be entertainers?
No.
No.
It's a means to an end, not an end in itself.
Yeah.
And where do you see yourself in 5 years or so? Married, children?
Well,
now
Lucy's already married, has
married
a child.
Married, has a child.
Oh.
I'm going to grad school, so. Yep.
In Montana?
Well, as I mentioned before, I'm going to be starting school shortly, and I plan on opening my own business, my own salon.
Great.
Whether or not I'm married, that remains to be seen.
Well, wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, Norm.
Well, thank you very much for calling, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We'll take some more calls, 254-1030. Let's take one more right now. Mark in Framingham. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Norman. This is Mark.
Yes, in Framingham, I'll bet you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have some good news and some sad news.
Yeah?
I'm from Framingham, and I love your show.
Thank you.
And
that's the bad news.
And the bad news is I'm lonely and I have no girlfriend.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you think either Lucy or Montana could help you on that?
Well, if they have any suggestions or if they think of anything, sure.
Any suggestions, ladies?
You go ahead, Montana.
Well, I don't think you can look for a girlfriend. I think it just has to happen naturally.
Okay.
You know, don't be in love with the idea of having a girlfriend. You have to be in love with the person. So, you know, enjoy your life and the right person will come along.
Yeah, that's true. And suddenly the whole world will light up for you. And you'll say, that's the one that I want to be with forever. No, it's true. I sound like I'm making fun, but that's the way it does happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wish you good luck, because if you find somebody that you love and she loves you, boy, you really got it made.
Right. Norman.
Yes.
This is my first time calling you. I have called on Bob Raleigh's show, and he's a good gentleman, too, and you are, too. And
thank
like
you.
Both of your shows.
Well, thanks a million.
I think you and Norm, I think you and Bob Raleigh are two great people that on the radio.
Well, I appreciate that.
Does
very
he get
much
a pen
much.
Or something?
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't get one from you? How about a little flashlight?
No, the other fellow gives the pen. Yeah, he has the little chintzy pens with his name painted on it, you know, that kind of stuff. Want to stick around just a little bit longer?
Sure.
I think there are a lot of people.
A good time.
Okay, 254-1030, area code 617.
You're not sick of me.
Sick
Montana.
Of you. Sick of thinking about me. I mean, I can't stand it. Life is
at all.
Life has become very sweet. Very sweet. I just think of myself when I was just a kid growing up in Everett, carrying my violin case around, a little skinny kid with glasses and pimples or acne, and my life has turned into this. I never would have dreamed that. I just never would have dreamed that. Thank you very much. That's my entire speech. Didn't make much sense, but what the heck. We're talking with Lucy Johnson and with Montana. Both of them dance at a club called Matthew's up in Tingsboro, which is a nudie club. I just wanted to mm-hmm. wait till you got all the children to bed and your mother out of the room. And you guys are fun to talk with. I'm really enjoying this a great deal. 254-1030, if you'd like to talk with them or with me, 254-1030. Area code to Boston is 617. Let me check the lottery numbers and stuff, and then we'll take some phone calls. The Massachusetts Daily Lottery was 2982. Mass Millions 5, 24, 28, 34, 35, 39, and the bonus number 48. And the Tri-State Daily was 893 and 8710. And let me see, hold on. The Red Sox won. They beat the White Sox 5-3. Roger Clemens pitched for the Red Sox in their game at Fenway Park. And did a very, very nice job. So people are wondering whether he's fallen apart and there's, you know, no future stuff. You know, but because he pitched, he hasn't pitched very well for some time. But he pitched well, 5-3 over the White Sox. And in the NBA, in a game that really doesn't matter, the Celtics, who did make the playoffs, beat Orlando anyway, 113-110. With two overtimes. They played in Boston, too, so a lot of sports activities were going on. you sound like you follow sports. Do you, Lucy?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, 254-1030. If you'd like to talk with Lucy or with Montana, you're not from Montana though. Where'd you get that name?
Well, you know, I studied fashion, and Claude Montana is my favorite fashion designer.
So I see. Okay.
I chose Montana.
Okay, let's talk with Bob, who's up in Marblehead. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just, well, how could I be anything but great right now? Yeah, man, this is like a dream.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, even though most of the year I do fight off beautiful women, so this is nothing too unusual for me.
I know, it's such a struggle.
Yeah, our life is not easy.
So, well, I guess is Lucy, was she Princess Cheyenne?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very interesting.
Is it?
Well, yeah.
Do I know you?
Once upon a time, I used to drive a cab. And you came out of the club one night, or one afternoon, actually, and jumped in the back of my cab. And I drove you up to a vegetarian restaurant in JP.
You did?
Yep. And it was rather interesting. We actually chatted for a bit. And, it was rather fascinating. I had been in to see you a couple of times.
That's neat.
You were spectacular then, and I saw your thing in Playboy.
Uh-huh.
And... you know, what can be said? You're just, you know, gorgeous.
Well, thank you.
Oh, that's quite all right. But
do you want to propose marriage or anything like that while we get you on the phone?
No, I've given up on married women.
Oh, well.
Oh, that's right.
That's probably a good thing.
Are you married?
Am I?
Yeah.
Not any longer.
Oh, okay.
No, and that's rather interesting. One of the things that I thought I might talk about in a way is that women who do this, I just find it so wonderful. It's just so remarkable. And especially in today's times where, you know, well, I guess in the Globe, there's a quote of the day every day.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know it, whatever, but every day they have this little quote or whatever, and some of them are pretty neat. But anyway, about a week or two ago, quote of the day was, if God made anything more beautiful than a woman, he kept it for himself.
That is really nice.
And that's the way I feel.
No, you know, it's kind of funny. I'm glad you mentioned that because it's kind of funny. There are a lot of people who would object and say, why don't you take your clothes off in public? What kind of trollops are you anyway? That kind of business. And no, hold on just a minute because I'm in the middle of making an impassioned speech. and I hate to be interrupted at that point. But to me, the human body is very precious and very lovely to look at, and people who object to women revealing themselves in that manner somehow don't object to so many of these violent movies that go on with people shooting each other and collapsing in a heap of blood and all that. To me, that is really obscene. I mean, that is so frighteningly obscene.
Right.
And why people, I mean, if you're going to be even religious, because sometimes the religious people are more objections than anybody, objection, object to the human form. I can't understand that. Yeah. If you're religion, if you're religious, you figure God created the human form, so what's so terrible about showing it? But people get uptight about that, and I've never understood why.
Well, it is curious, and I do find that this part of the country is particularly
unusual.
Yeah,
it is. It's especially puritanical, isn't
right.
it, Bob?
It is exactly.
Hey, was the name of that restaurant, was that Open Sesame? Was it like in Brookline Village almost?
No, it was right in downtown JP.
On Center Street?
Yep, that was the one.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We talked. I remember. Yeah.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And shared a sesame seed or something.
I don't know.
But
that was probably
back
when I didn't shave my legs and stuff.
Yeah, you were something. You had those costumes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, they were amazing. But, yeah, I don't know. I've just always found it rather fascinating. And I take it for what it is. I don't usually buy girls a drink because, you know, that's the way they make, or the club makes, you know, all their money. Sometimes they do.
Well, yeah, they don't have that at Matthew's anyway.
Oh.
You're not allowed to buy girls drinks. And yeah, it's nothing like that. It's not, you know. But, I agree. I think it's absurd the way people react to nudity. It's crazy. It's kind of
silly.
It
really is. It's so, well, down south, it's a little different. But
right.
It's too bad that it's gotten... that it has that air or atmosphere. I mean, it's really such a delight. And if you take it for, as I said before, if you take it for what it is.
Yeah.
And in fact, just earlier tonight, I was watching his talk show, and there was a woman on there who also is in your business. And but she took a different approach, and she was really quite unhappy with doing it.
Yeah, there are quite a few people
What show was this that she was on?
Jenny Jones, I think.
Oh, the Jenny Jones show. Yeah.
And she was complaining about how this guy that she was talking to was showing her pictures of her wife and kids, his wife and kids, and she was quite upset that he would bring those out, and she didn't want to know anything about it.
Goodness.
She felt very guilty about the whole thing, and I thought, well, this is not typical of the women that I've met.
Well, a lot of women are uncomfortable with it, and a lot of women, it gets to them on different levels, depending on how personally they take things or how they're feeling about themselves and all that sort of thing. But, I mean, it's a choice.
I found this to be another great example of Norm's appeal across all age groups. He just had an amazing way to connect with people with just his voice over the radio. I hope you enjoyed this latest installment. It's great to be back. I'm going to save the other December episodes for later this year. The Vault of Silliness will open, and we will make a withdrawal of January shows starting next week. Speaking of said vault, let's close it, and this time, ride our sleigh on the snowy radio waves home. For Ted Williams, Dedications, The Flying Elvi, Psychic Elvis, Impressions, Mason Adams, Norm's Mom and Dad, Jeff Pinsker, Lily St. Cyr, Lucy Johnson, Montana, Ed Mullen, Little Baby Snoogelfleischer, Tales from the Crypt, Kitty, also known as Gypsy Ford, Dave Currier, Linda Chase, Robert from Everett, Deep Philosophical Conversations, Neil Chayette, David Brudnoy, Jack Hart, Ed LeClaire, and that skinny, pimply-faced, violin-case-toting kid from Everett who made the big time, Norm Nathan. I'm the antibody-filled Tony Nesbitt.